But we are going to be talking about three different winter seasons that we create ourselves. We're going to be looking at the seasons of sin, of doubt, and of busyness. We're going to be looking at specifically what those seasons are, and then some triggers for those seasons, some things that lead us into those seasons, and some glimmers in the seasons, things that we can point to that can help to bring us out of those seasons. So I hope you'll join me. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. Hey guys, you can see that this setup is a little bit different. This is part two of the episode that we started last week. So last week we looked at the emotional spiral and kind of going down this path of winter seasons, particularly looking at winter seasons that we cause ourselves. We drew the distinction last week of winter seasons that are just caused by the brokenness of the world. Sometimes we experience pain and loss and it's hard and we have to just lean into God. But sometimes we are responsible for some of the places that we go. The Israelites were responsible for the fact that they wandered in the wilderness. David was responsible for some of the pain and suffering that he experienced with Bathsheba. And so we need to recognize ourselves that we are responsible for that as well. And so today what we're going to do is look at these three seasons, the season of sin, of doubt, and of busyness. And we're going to focus on what those seasons are. And then again, we're going to look at some triggers and some glimmers for those seasons. Just as a review from last week of what these things are. So again, we have this emotional spiral, which is like the downward sin, shame spiral that we experience, where we start out thinking, oh, things are fine. We're doing these things. We're just going to have a little bit of leeway. We're just going to say, hey, this sin is not so bad. And then all of a sudden, if you repeatedly do that, you end up cycling the drain, things start going faster and faster, and it's harder and harder to stop sin. So as we look at this, one of the things that's important to recognize is that triggers are the things that get us going on the spiral. It's the things that kind of initiate the spiral, and they're the first steps in the spiral. So we're going to look at some specific triggers, but basically if you see these things in your life, you want to change. And so if you see this, if you see that you're going down the path and you know that if you start saying these things to yourself, or if you start skipping church, or if you say, it's not that important to read my Bible, then you know that you are headed down a path that you don't want to go on. Then the other thing that we're going to look at today and look at that specifically for each season is glimmers. So if you see that you are going down the path that you don't want to go on, that you are triggered and you are going down this downward spiral, then what can you do to stop that spiral? And that is what these glimmers are. They're the opposite of a trigger. And a glimmer is basically where you say, I recognize this about myself. And so I'm going to do the opposite of the behavior that I am tending towards right now. So if you say, hey, in the morning, you know, I am going down the spiral, I'm getting too busy. And so because of that, I'm neglecting my quiet time. Then you start to incorporate some glimmers. So maybe you work in a Bible reading plan where you're meeting with friends and they're holding you accountable, and you try to work that in by going to your favorite coffee shop. I saw something this past week that was saying, you know, if you are struggling to do something and you're procrastinating because you don't want to do that thing in, you know, one of your favorite places. And so, you know, people are talking about it with like homeschooling, or if you, you know, with your taxes or anything like that. If you say, instead of saying, okay, I have to sit at home and I have to be by myself and kind of, you know, just power through, say, no, I'm going to try to make this as pleasant as possible. And it's a treat to do these things. And so that's why I think it's really important as we look at these three seasons, whenever we try to stop these seasons, we want to make sure that we are providing and we're leaning into some of the joy that God provides. And so I think that's really important as we recognize what glimmers are. So what we're going to do now, and you're going to see the background is going to change just a little bit, but we are going to go back to that recording that we started last week. This will be part two of our series on winter seasons and how to weather those winter seasons. And again, what we're looking at today is those three seasons we cause ourselves, and triggers and glimmers in those seasons, so that we can weather them well and come out of these seasons that we cause ourselves stronger in our faith and with a legacy of faith that will sustain us and others. If you are interested in any of these things, make sure that you download the Winter Survival Guide. So the Winter Survival Guide has the list where you can brainstorm your personal glimmers, things that you find life-giving and joyful, things that point you towards God, places of praise. It also has a winter affirmations list. It has a winter bucket list. And then it also has some of the documents from last week and this week. So if you're interested in looking at the triggers and glimmers and you want to have that written down, you could download this. It's a link in the show notes, and you'll also find all the other links, especially for that Wilderness Wanderings Guide and the Wilderness Post on the blog. So make sure you check those out. All right, on to the episode. You'll have some tools in your tool belt to be able to get out of those seasons and, again, hopefully get to that spring season of new hope and new growth in Christ. I think that as we look at all this, the goal is that we don't stay in our winter seasons. We want to weather them well whenever we do experience them, but we don't want to live there. We don't want to live in the wilderness. We want to grow and have fruitful ministry and have a life of, you know, fulfillment. And so I think that as we look at this in our winter seasons, we want to figure out ways that we can hopefully get out of these, especially if they're winter seasons where we're in them because of something that's came between us and our relationship with God. So again, our three seasons that I've been referring to over the course of this episode are seasons of sin, seasons of doubt, and seasons of busyness. I think all of these things can be an idol, and we can prioritize them over God, and eventually they'll just get in between us and our relationship with God, and they will lead us into a winter season. So the first we're going to talk about is sin. I think all of us, if I said, you know, a winter season of sin can get in between you and your relationship with God, we would all say, yeah, that makes sense. But I think, you know, sin obviously is something that it is one of the hardest things to say, okay, let's just stop sinning. Like, none of us are going to be able to just stop. We have to figure out ways to get ourselves out of these situations. Sin, you know, I've heard the term, and I've heard other people say, oh, this is actually not true. So I'm not sure, but I'm going to say it anyway. That people say sin is this analogy of missing the mark. It's a term from archery that basically you have the mark, which is holiness, you know, right living, righteousness. And whenever you sin, you miss the mark. You do something that is not holy. And so I think in our culture, that is something that as Christians, we know, but that's really not accepted in the culture because everybody has a different recognition of what holiness is, what righteousness is, what right living is. And so missing the mark, it doesn't have much resonance because most of us say, well, what's right for you is not right for me. And because of that, we really struggle with this idea of missing the mark. But the thing that we need to understand is the person, the thing that determines what holiness is God. God is holiness. God is righteousness. And so if the way that we're living does not line up with who he is and what he has said, then we know that we have missed the mark. And so this is why it's important to make sure that we are investing in our relationship with God and learning about who he is, learning what he's saying, because he is going to show us this holy and righteous way, because we're not just going to know it ourselves because we are not holy people. And if we follow our own heart, we're going to be led into sin because our heart is full of sin. Now, knowing this, it's hard whenever we are in a season of sin to train our hearts to want and love truth and goodness and righteousness. Because if we're in a season of sin, and again, David and Bathsheba is is a perfect example, one of the best examples, I think, in the Bible of this kind of situation, where if you are desiring sin and you want that over everything else, you're not going to care what God says about what is holy and righteous and good. Because quite frankly, you don't want to hear it. You want to do what you want to do. You want to do what you are desiring. And so you have to stop yourself in that downward spiral of sin and say, no, I'm going to change my desires so that my desires will line up with who God is, and I will desire more of him. And so in a season of sin, you need to first recognize where you're at. So again, what are some of our triggers for a season of sin? You might be in a season of sin when you surround yourself with people who minimize that sin, maybe they joke about it. They say, ah, it's not a big deal. Everybody does that. That's actually good. And they tell you what's, you know, what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. If you're surrounding yourself with people that do this, you might be in a season of sin. You also might be in a season of sin if you begin to hide what you're doing around others. You might be in a season of sin if you feel like you're going to be caught. And so you start to isolate yourself. So again, that hiding is really related to this idea of isolation. So, you know, if you also, this is important, you know, if you're a part of a church and you recognize, somebody's not really coming around quite as much, well, then they might be going into the season as well. So you reaching out to them can be a good thing. You also might be in a season of sin when you stop pursuing God, praying and studying his word. And you're going to find that, I think, the last trigger that we talk about in each of these seasons is the one I just said. Anytime that you find that you don't have that desire for God anymore, and you used to, then you're probably in a place where there is something off and you need to fix it. Now, glimmers in the season of sin, these life-giving things that can point you back to having a good relationship with God, could be repenting and turning away from your sin. So you need to recognize that what you're doing is wrong and you are making a commitment to pursue righteousness. Then you should immerse yourself with people that will hold you to the right standard. So again, if you were previously around people who are minimizing the sin, you want to be removing yourself from that group and then putting yourself in a group of people that are going to hold you up to the expectation that you are setting for yourself. You need to practice a daily confession time. I think a lot of times we minimize confession now, and then we really need not necessarily to confess to, you know, other people all the time, but especially with God, we need to have that time of confession where we recognize that there's things in us that may have missed the mark, and we're trying to right our heart and put it back in to right relationship with God. And then lastly, we need to lean into the power of Holy Spirit for sanctification. You are not going to save yourself on your own power. And so relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and make you holy is really the only thing that that you can do. And so I think these are the steps that you would need if you were in a season of sin. Our next season is a season of doubt. So in a similar vein, doubt can also cause a winter season in your life. Now, you could argue that doubt is a sin. I'm not sure. I guess you could argue that. But, you know, I think to some extent that it is a true maybe, but I think we should approach doubt differently because we're having a different issue. Sin is related to disobedience. Like we've read something in the Bible, like, it says, don't gossip. But we say, I want to gossip. And so you're just being disobedient. Doubting is different. Like we are commanded to trust and believe in God. But I think doubt gets at the heart that, like, whereas sin, you're saying, I know that God is God, but I don't care what he says. I want to do it anyway. With doubt, you're saying, I don't know if God is God. And so then you're dealing with a different issue. And I think you need to approach it a little bit differently. Now, I think our culture, we've taken, again, what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. We've taken doubt and we've said that it's actually a good thing. It's a moral good to doubt. I think part of this is because, you know, of the trend in culture to want to deconstruct your faith. There's other podcasts out there that have been talking about this idea. And one that I was listening to, there was an Emma's for Mama podcast where she talked about this idea of deconstructing your faith. And she was talking about in social media, there's this trend where, you know, these people are posting about deconstructing. And in the comments, you have all these people saying, yeah, you're so brave. This is so good that you're doing this. But basically this idea of deconstructing your faith, what it is you are saying, you're just questioning. You're questioning everything about your faith. And the term is taken from, you know, a deconstructionist philosophy from academia. And this idea in academia is basically you say that all that is true and good, we don't know if it's actually true and good. And so you need to question that and ultimately tear it down. Whenever I think about this, I think about like a plague of locusts, where, you know, you have all this fruit and this good, both in culture and in faith, where you have this like lush green forest. And then you have this locust that come in and they eat everything good, and you're just left with a barren wasteland. I think of that with deconstruction, where the deconstruction is all these questions that you're asking, but really there's nothing. Like, once you strip it down, they don't give you anything. There's nothing life-giving at the end of that. You just say, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's good. And so ultimately you're left with no belief system. Your only belief is that you can't have beliefs, which is where we get this idea, I think, of like being agnostic or atheist or something like that. It's from this idea of deconstruction. And so they've said, okay, what is truth? We don't know what truth is. How can you know what truth is? It's arrogant for you to say that. And I don't believe that that's true. Without truth, we're just led to places that we don't want to go. So when you are in the season of doubt, you will grow farther away from God. Like, it's going to happen. You can go through a season of making your beliefs your own. I've heard people say that. And what they say is, don't use the word deconstructionist, because whenever you're talking about deconstructing your faith, most of the time it's these people who are basically evangelizing you to become agnostic. Maybe not atheist, you know, not like, you know, those guys, the four horsemen or whatever, but they're basically these people who are evangelizing you to question everything and question truth. And basically they want you to believe that truth doesn't exist. Whereas, you know, if you wanted to make your faith your own and make sure that you believe in the doctrines that you believe and make sure that you understand those things, what they say is argue for the term like reformationist or a restorationist. Basically, you're saying you're wanting to make sure that you're believing the right things, but you're not questioning your belief in God. I think these seasons of doubt unchecked will definitely just lead to you saying, well, I don't believe anything that you believe. A lot of times what ends up with a deconstructionist philosophy is that you just believe whatever culture says to believe. So you might not like some of the ideas in the Bible about, you know, LGBTQ plus ideas, but you've said, well, I don't want to believe this, so I'm just going to believe what culture tells me is good. And so you do believe in something, but you've just decided you're going to question your faith rather than questioning culture. So seasons of doubt, they can be caused by a whole lot of different things. Again, maybe it's that you don't like the fact that your faith doesn't line up with what culture says. But a lot of times it's a combination of questioning certain things about God. Maybe you're questioning the inerrancy of scripture and saying, ah, is scripture really right? Or it could be that, you know, you're trying to virtue signal. So your group that you follow on social media, or maybe your friends, they all believe a certain thing. And so because of that, you feel pressured to start believing that as well. And I really think, honestly, it's a combination of all of those. You might say, oh, well, I don't like that. You know, how can we trust scripture? But really, even if you say something, it's probably also related to the fact that you have a friend that was doing the same thing. I think a lot of times people try to sound philosophical, but really what they're doing is just whatever their friends are doing. So you need to be honest with yourself about why you are believing what you are believing. If you are in the season of doubt, you may be surrounding yourself with people who are glorifying doubting and virtue signaling. So again, if you are surrounding yourself with these people, you are probably going to go down that path as well. You also might get combative and argumentative for like no reason with your friends. So like you go to a family dinner and you're like, you know, your family's Christian, and you just start getting in arguments all the time. And then you end the argument with feeling superior, even if nothing you've said is actually true or good. You feel superior and you feel upset at your family for being so gullible to believe certain things. Or maybe in these situations, you decide to write off your family and, you know, isolate yourself from people who have beliefs that are different than you. So, and I think in a season of doubt, depending on where you're at, sometimes you start to do that. You also might start to chafe against people and like resources. Like you hear things and you just can't hear things that you don't agree with. And so because of that, you start to isolate yourself. So you might stop going to church or stop listening to, you know, Christian podcasts, things like that. And then eventually you will stop. Like I said, the last trigger, and this is one thing that you can tell if you have stopped pursuing God, praying, having an individual relationship with Him, where it's not just going to church, but you are not trying to pursue Him at any other point in your life, then you probably are in this season of doubt. Glimmers in the season of doubt. If you want to get out of the season of doubt and stop that spiral, first, you need a support group. You need to find some people who are godly and who promote a godly lifestyle. pursuing God, reading his word, caring about these things, that is going to be the first step, is finding some solid people. Because right now you are one of those people, if you are in a season of doubt, you are being blown and tossed by the wind. And so you need to find some firm, you know, ground that is not shaken. And so finding people that can help you to have that solid ground, people that you can fall back on, is the first step. Because a lot of times in this, whereas somebody who is a more mature Christian would rest on God in this situation, a lot of times whenever you are in a season of doubt, you might not feel comfortable resting on God, but you can rest on other people and ultimately get back to that good relationship with God where you can just rest on him. Next, you need to bring clear voices of truth in your life. So you could start every day again with a quiet time, maybe having some worship time in that as well, and also praying, writing out some of your thoughts as you study the Bible or as you pray about other things. Also having podcasts and things that you listen to. I just did a list of the podcasts that I've been listening to. There's about 15 podcasts on there. And just having that steady stream of wisdom and truth will help to get you back on track. And then also I would go back to the basics of your belief. So learn the basics of your core doctrines, memorize scripture, and preach the gospel to yourself. Know the basics of what you believe, and that will start to help you to navigate your shakiness in belief. All right, so then our last season is our season of busyness. Now, this can seem kind of strange, right? So I have season of sin. Everybody's like, well, duh, that means you're going to be, you know, further apart from God than what you want to be. Seasons of doubt. Yes, we could probably agree with that. But seasons of busyness, it just doesn't seem as bad. And honestly, I feel like in America, we all struggle with seasons of busyness. But as we look at this, I think this can be kind of the silent killer of your faith. And I think this is going to be one that a lot of us are really going to struggle with, more so than seasons of sin and seasons of doubt. And the reason why is because in a season of sin and doubt, you're like clearly at odds with God, whether it's because of disobedience or because of lack of faith. And so normally in this season, you know, if you're in a season of sin or doubt, you're questioning what's right and wrong. You're questioning what you believe in. And it's a big thing. You know, you are drawing your line in the sand. But I think in seasons of busyness, doesn't seem like there's any kind of problem. There's no issue between you and God. There's no issue really between you and other people, because you're not like coming out and saying, I don't believe in God anymore or anything like that. You're just too busy. So you may not be doing the things you should do, like reading your Bible or going to church or taking care of other people, serving others, but you're not really doing anything wrong. You're not really sinning like you would be, you know, if you were, you know, doing things that you shouldn't. And so I think with this, we just seem like, there's not that much of a problem. But I think busyness can be an idol. And it's that idol of work and productivity. It's an idol of saying that you want to accomplish more things. And so because of that, it's okay if God goes on the back burner because you're doing things for yourself. Busyness is related to pride and work. And it's also related to greed. I think a lot of times our busyness, sometimes it can be related to things like sports, you know, taking your kids to sports every Sunday instead of going to church. Maybe you're too busy. But a lot of times our busyness is related to the fact that we're trying to make more money. And so because we're trying to make more money, we are not doing what we need to invest in our relationship with God and take care of other people. In our culture, it seems like a moral good to choose busyness. Like having a good work ethic is a good thing. I think that's changing a little bit now, like with people quiet quitting and these like bed rotting terms. I have a blog post about that if you don't know what that is. But I think for the most part in our culture, we value productivity and work, that kind of American dream. But choosing busyness means you're choosing to function independently. You're trying to wrest control from God. And so because of that, you're trying to like make yourself your own God. And I think really your goals and your decisions, all of these hopes and dreams you have, they're made outside of God's will. And they can sometimes get in the way between you and having a good relationship with God. In the Bible, we read about the prophet Haggai that criticized the people for focusing on building their own homes while the kingdom or while the temple lay in ruins. And so I think that's another example of choosing to invest in your own living your own personal, you know, hopes, dreams, goals, wealth, and not caring about the work of God. And I think we do this in a lot of different areas. So again, this is why I think the season of busyness, this is something that really can be a problem for most Christians, because again, you don't feel like, oh, well, I'm not a Christian if I'm too busy, but it can lead to this winter season. One of the main judgments God had against the Israelites that you can read in book after book of prophecy is that they neglected the Sabbath. And so God said, you know, you're going to be in exile, and then finally this land will get the Sabbath. And again, I think what that showed is that they were neglecting their trust and faith. You know, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments. I didn't realize this, but some people count the Ten Commandments differently. So they say that, like, so we say normally that you have, you know, no other gods before me, shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, and then you have honor the Sabbath. Some people don't count them like that. But anyway, so regardless of whether you say that there's two commands before the Sabbath, or whether the Sabbath is the second command, it's one of the priorities of God is that we have this Sabbath time. And so we want to make sure that we include this in our lives. Busyness just breeds more busyness. If you are busy, you will stay busy. And normally you will just get busier. And people talk about that all the time, that as you get older, you just get busier and busier and busier. And then, you know, even some people who are retired, they're like, I'm just as busy as I ever was. I think we feel like we need to accomplish more and more because of our pride and our greed. And so it's just going to lead us to desire to pursue more. And I think, you know, in the Israelites, whenever they neglected the Sabbath, especially the Israelites in the wilderness, they had laws about how to collect manna. And if they collected too much, the manna would turn rotten and have the stench and be infested with maggots. And I just think sometimes that's what we try to do. We neglect the Sabbath to try to accumulate more and do more work. But then we realize that our work and our goals and our dreams and our wealth, it starts to stink. It's just rotten. It's infested with maggots. And so I think that we just need to be aware whenever we are pursuing busyness, this can also lead us into a winter season. The things we accumulate will ultimately just burn us out, and we will feel spiritually dry. So you may be in a season of busyness if you overload your to-do list, if you start to make excuses while you have no time for church or for reading your Bible or for doing anything else related to a godly lifestyle, when you keep canceling spending time with people that you love and care about so that you can get more work done, and when you stop pursuing God and praying and pursuing a relationship with Him. So glimmers for the season of busyness is really just to slow down. You want to start taking a true Sabbath. So turn off your phone, turn off your computer. One of the best ways I think to do this is to go outside. So just go out in nature and have some time to spend with God and with other people and a slow living lifestyle. So try to take a day to do that. Create space every day to savor the moment. So if you say, okay, one day a week, I am going to honor the Sabbath, then the other thing that you could do is create space every day to sit and savor the moment and have that quiet time. So you could do that by waking up early. You could do that by having time, you know, after the kids go to bed, maybe during nap time, just taking just a moment. Sally Clarkson, she does a tea time every day. So what they do is, you know, around like 1:30, 2 o'clock, they take about 20 minutes and they have like a treat and a cup of tea and they read a book. And it's great, great moment in the day to just recollect yourself and savor the moment. You could pray during this time and just kind of make that a pleasant, life-giving time. You can include some soul care routines in your life. So again, I think working with our hands, it does something. It helps us get out of our head, stop working on our to-do list, and just focus on, you know, the physicality of our bodies. With, you know, if you were quilting or woodworking or something like that, gardening, it puts you in a different mental state. They say it's good, you know, especially if you're trying to kind of break yourself off of being, you know, screen addiction or something like that. It just does something to the hormones in your brains and the chemicals in your brain if you are addicted to that dopamine. And so doing something with your hands can be really good. And so doing some hobbies as opposed to just like working, I think, you know, it's like moms are probably like, yeah, well, I'm cleaning all day. So I'm doing something with my hands all day. And it's mostly, you know, wiping down counters and picking up toys. But I think the thing with that is that just turns into more work So doing like a hobby can be good, like painting or something like that, because it's something that's not attached to this idea of productivity. And so because of that, you're just enjoying it for the sake of what it is. Listening to music can be like this, or playing music. It's not like you're getting something out of it. You're just investing in yourself, and you can use those things to glorify God. If you play music, you can play songs to worship Him. If you are gardening, you can look at His creation. So there's ways to incorporate worship into some of these things that we're doing that are hobbies and, you know, entertainment like that. Lastly, plan out your ideal schedule to incorporate work and rest. So a few episodes ago, we talked about these ideal schedules, and we talked about the church calendar as well in a post on the blog. And all of these things should incorporate these rhythms of work and rest. So if you find that you're feeling burnt out because of busyness, you really need to sit and focus on your schedule. So let's recap what we've talked about. We talked about the fact that we all face winter seasons. Some winter seasons are outside of our control. We have no responsibility for them, but there are winter seasons where we are the cause of those winter seasons. Whether that's because of sin or doubt or busyness, we are going down a path where we are prioritizing other things over God. And so the first thing that we need to do in these winter seasons is admit to ourselves we're in this winter season, and then we need to figure out some glimmers in that season, some ways that we can break the cycle of the season. So what do you think? Are you in a winter season right now? Would you add any other seasons to the list of the winter seasons that we create? You can let me know by leaving a short review or comment wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also subscribe to the blog, and you'll get a copy of the Winter Season Survival List with a little place to brainstorm your glimmers. And then you can also get free content every week sent straight to your inbox. We have a lot of great resources at the More Beautiful Life Collective store. So you can go to amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop, and you can download those resources there. One of the resources that we have is our Wilderness Wanderings Bible study. It's a 7-day Bible study that goes through wilderness wanderings in the Bible and 4 lessons we can learn from that. So until next time, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.